Well, I do remember the scripture he woke me up with over in Revelation, the second chapter of Revelation, and chapter 2 of Revelation, and beginning about maybe, verse 10 and 11. Will someone read that for us this morning?
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried.
Yes.
And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Yes.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
All right, we notice the two scriptures here, two verses of scriptures here, in the second chapter of Revelation. It's no new doctrine. It's the Word of God. And we come by this morning, by the help of the Lord, to help stir up our minds at some point, my mind to be stirred, my soul to be stirred. Because between here and the time that the Lord comes, we're going to have some battles. And you're going to run into more problems, no doubt, than what you have already ran into. I can't tell you what all the problems are going to be, but the Lord said here, some of you are going to be cast into prison, didn't he?
Yes.
And you're going to have some problems. So we're down around that time, no doubt, where some are going to jail. And some are being put away, what have you. But I'm thinking here, it says, fear none of those things. See? It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Well, may the Lord help us this morning. Somebody comes along and says living for God was on the easy street. Well, I want to say to you this morning, it's a blessing to serve God. It's a reward in serving God. But you're going to have some battles to fight in all that you do for God. When you decide to go for God, you're going to have battles to fight. You're going to have things that's going to enter in to try to disturb and to separate you from the things of God. But you're going to have battles to fight, so don't have it in your mind. And I don't believe if you have it in your mind this morning that it's the easy street and it's going to go along smooth. I'm here to kind of get that kind of a thought out your mind this morning. It's going to be a battle in fighting God. So we're going to have to put on the right helmet to get out and to do battle for God. It said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You're going to suffer some things. But it said, fear none of those things. What are we talking about this morning? If I want to label back here, and I'm going to put something back here in a little while, but I'm thinking the faithfulness, being faithful from here to the time that God calls you and I home. It means something to be faithful. It's going to take something to be faithful. It's going to take more than just going to Sunday service. It's going to take more than just being in prayer service. That's part of it altogether. And you can't leave those things out. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take more than that of being faithful. You're going to have to be faithful at your post of duty wherever you are in living for God. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. It's pretty good, isn't it? Who wants to? I don't feel like I want to go to jail. I think I was in jail one time in my life, and it ain't no pretty thing. But I'll tell you something. I remember I had a good record, and I was trying to get right on through and try to be able to tell my children, son, daddy never been in jail. But I kind of got out of the way a little bit there. And how I got in there was, there was a man, I went around by the washateria, and here this fellow was trying to break in the washateria and get the quarters out, and I'm standing there looking at him. And I'm just looking at him trying to bust it open, and he was going about it the wrong way. And I'm going to take a few minutes to show him just about how to do it. Didn't take a quarter at all. But I wanted to show him. I said, look like you're just having a struggle at that. It's not the way to do it. Let me show you. See, you hit here and whoop, and all the quarters came out. I walked off. Well, that cost me $50. Well, you see. Well, I stayed in jail about 3 hours. Went to one part of the jail there, and they hadn't served dinner yet. And, well, at least I thought I'd get a meal. And it was, I didn't work that day and hadn't brought any lunch with me. So when they took me to jail, I at least thought I'd get fed. But they hadn't had dinner at one place, and they moved me out of there before they served dinner. When I got over to the other place, they'd already had dinner, so I'm in trouble now. See? And there I am in jail there with ain't no pretty thing, but yet I was there, you see. But it says here, said the devil is going to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now listen, I'm thankful this morning. In the first part of this thing, if I can, I want to think about God's faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. And He's faithful that called it you. And when God saved you and I, you're saved this morning, God has been faithful to your soul, and He's been faithful to mine to keep us where we are today. He's kept His bargain all the way down the line. He never backed away from it. He never got out of the way of it. But He made a promise that He'll be with us even until the end of the world. And He's been faithful. I have to say, God has been faithful to my soul to keep that promise. There's a scripture, one of the scriptures that He gave me over there where it says it's impossible for God to lie. Somebody get that for us, please. Oh, listen, God is a God that does not lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. And He says to you and I, if we be faithful unto death, He'll give us a crown of life. God has been faithful. If you look back over the time that you've been saved, and you think about how faithful have God been to you, He never let you down. Always was there by your side. Always was there to take care of the problem. He's been faithful, hadn't He?
Yes,
can anyone say here this morning that God has let you down? All right, and He's been faithful. But can I say that I never let Him down? Lord, shame on us. Lord, help us this morning. I have to admit, there have been some times, no doubt, that I wasn't just up to par that God wanted me to be, and I let Him down. I may have grieved Him. Surely so. But He never let me down. He have never let me down. He's always been faithful. Well, do you have that scripture?
Yes. It's by two immutable things.
By two immutable things.
Hebrews 6:18.
Thank you, brother.
In which it was impossible
for God to lie.
We might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge. To lay hold upon the hopes. Set before us.
Listen. Yes, go ahead.
Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul.
Which hope we have is an anchor to the soul.
Both
sure and steadfast. Now listen, that's something to think about this morning. It's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. And by this, God made known unto us that we have a hope that is set before us. If you and I would hold steadfast and sure and hold on. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm here to talk to you this morning a little bit about the things that gets in between here and there. The things that will cause you and I to lose faith along the way. Lord help us. From here to the time the Lord comes, you don't know what's going to transpire between here and there. You don't know what's going to transpire with your soul and mind between here and there, but I do know this. I have a hope this morning that if I stay true, if I stay steadfast in God, unmovable, and staying in the Word of the Lord, abiding in the things of God, I have a hope this morning, sure and steadfast, that I'll make it.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. His faithfulness. I want us to get the thought first before we get into the thought. Have I been as faithful as God has been to me? The thing is that the faithfulness of God, God has been faithful to our soul. I can say for sure this morning, He's been faithful to me. He's been good to me. And I'm thankful this morning for that. The psalmist David said in 36:5 of Psalms 5 and 6, maybe somebody get that and read that for us. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. And Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Oh, I'm thankful this morning for a God that is faithful as He is.
Yes.
I don't have to be undecided, or I don't have to be in a place where I don't know if He's going to show up. I don't know if He's going to be there. I am sure this morning that God is faithful, as He said He is. He will be there. He'll be on time too. He's never late, thank God, this morning. And God has been faithful to us. But I'm thinking this morning, there is a space between now and the time that the Lord will come. Lord, He said, when I return, shall I find faith upon the earth? He must have saw something, did He not? He must have saw something that may transpire before the time He returned. You know, people are losing sight of faith this morning. People are backing out. People are going another route. People are going another road. People saying they found something different. They found something better. But I'm here to tell you this morning, by the help and grace of God, I'm thankful this morning that we got something real, that we got something steadfast and sure. I don't have to be moved by every wind of doctrine. I don't have to be moved by every little thing that comes along that caused me to be shifted and uncertain. I am sure this morning that we have something that's real. This is real. We don't have a personal experience with God, it won't be real to our soul. But this is real, and it comes through a personal experience. I don't have to have somebody to come along and whisper little things in my ear and going to show me a better way. I know this is the truth, and I know this is the way this way. Thank the Lord. Oh, listen. This is why Scripture, the Lord said, if you be faithful unto death, it's going to take the real press in this thing, isn't it? It's going to take a real love for God to make it. It's going to take a real sincereness in our soul deep down to make God and all the things around us, all the things that we may accumulate. I'll tell you, those things have no value as much as this thing here has value. My soul with God. Lord, help us. But between now and the time that the Lord comes, David said, thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. That's pretty high, isn't it? You've been in a plane before. You get right up off the ground. Well, if you haven't, I'm going to take you a little ride this morning. You take off in one of those big old jets, and it kind of holds you back and pins you to the seat, and about the time you clear the runway good, you're up through the first set of clouds. Now, those clouds, when it's cloudy, it keeps you from seeing the sun shining. But the sun shines every day. Every day God sends the sunshine. It's not a day that the sun don't shine. Unless you got an eclipse, they said, and something passed between the sun and that and call it darkness, but the sun is still shining, just something in the way. The sun has always shone. And when you get up just to pass the first set of clouds, you begin to see the sun peeping through. Well, as you get up a little bit higher, on up maybe 33,000 feet, there's another cloud. And you get up above those clouds, if you can. You get up there and it's pure sky. Pure sky. His faithfulness reaches into the clouds. That's higher than I really can imagine. But I do know this. His faithfulness reaches down from heaven, down to you and I, and touch our souls, and it keeps us right where we ought to be. He's faithful to wake us in the morning. He's faithful to take care of our needs. He's faithful to bless the children as they run along. I want us to first get the picture of the faithfulness of God. Can you think anywhere in your experience, if you say it here this morning, where the Lord disappointed you? Well, I ask that again this way. Can you think of anywhere where you disappointed the Lord? Oh, Lord, help us. Many places and areas I can point where I disappointed the Lord. I grieved the Lord. But the Lord was faithful to be merciful to me and still deal with my soul. Even after I disappointed. You ever had somebody to disappoint you? You know, you were really dependent on them and it disappointed you? How did you feel? You felt let down, didn't you? You felt like, I don't know if I can trust you again. I don't know if I can really to go through this again. You hurt me and I don't know if I can go through this again to trust you as I trust you before. Oh, and you know what? You got to feel back there. You have a fear. You hurt me once before, and I don't know if I could stand you doing that again. But God, we grieve Him, and we hurt Him, but yet He's willing to trust us. He's willing to tell you, all right, my son, now you've done this, Don't do this anymore. Repent of that thing and go on now. I'm still willing to trust Him. Lord, help you and I. Talking about the faithfulness of God. He said, Thy mercy and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the heavens. Lord, help our faith this morning. Help us to be faithful this morning, dear Lord. I'm speaking to you this morning and I'm asking the Lord to help us as we're thinking about it. I'm going to put just a little something here and maybe we'll work this problem out here. This is going into division. I used to kind of like math there when I was in school. I didn't do too good in a lot of other things, but math was a good subject for me. I like that. I like counting and dealing with numbers. So this morning, we're going to deal with a little division if I can. But I'm thinking about, Lord help us, between here and there. Between here and the time the Lord comes. Will He find faith in us? Will He find faith in us? Will He find faith in me? Will He find faith in you? Between now and the time the Lord comes. It's more than going along and say, well, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. You're going to prove every word of that. You're going to prove every word of that before Jesus comes. Are you going to be just what you say you are going to be? Words are cheap, isn't it? But I'll tell you something. It's going to take something. It's going to take God to help you and I this morning. And it's going to take a desire in our souls and a love for God that I'm going to press this thing through. And with that kind of determination and press, and with the kind of humility it's going to take in this race, you and I can do it. We can do it. We can rebuke the devil and all of his imps, and we can live for God. Isn't that precious? Oh, listen. I'm thankful this morning. All right. Let's turn over now. There's another scripture before I go over there. Psalms 108:4, I believe. Let's look at that scripture and see what it says. For Thy mercy is great above the heavens. Now, one went to the clouds, didn't it? Now it's going above the heavens. Now, how far is that? Have you ever saw a plane go up above the heavens now? Get way on over there? No. I tell you, they said it went to the moon, but it still had some more to go if it had some more power, but it couldn't go any farther. But listen, He said, Thy mercy reaches above the heavens. Yes. All right, read.
Thy truth reaches unto the clouds.
Thy truth reaches unto the clouds. I'm thankful this morning. This truth come all the way, however how far it is up there, however long it took to get there. His truth came all the way down to earth for you and I. Isn't that faithful? Wasn't He faithful in what He was doing? Who are we this morning? Who are you and I that God took time out to do this? Are we so special? Maybe somebody said years ago, and I used to hear him use this term, maybe you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I wasn't. You know what that's supposed to indicate? You're supposed to be so. They use the term lucky, and so you got a silver spoon. Everything you touch turned to gold in one thing or another. But I'm going to tell you something. If we can use that term, we all got to say the silver spoon we've got is the Holy Ghost living in our soul. That's a blessing that this truth came all the way down to reach you and I. I not should not be so busy that I cannot serve God. I should not be so preoccupied that I can't take time out to deal with God in His business. Lord, help us this morning. You know, in the time we're living in, we can go along our way. And some of the things that can enter in to cause you and I to lose faith, to cause you and I not to be faithful. And some of those things are just right around you and I can enter in and cause us to lose sight of God. Exodus, the 12th chapter. We're going to work on the problem a little bit. Haven't put it on the board yet. But I want you to divide with me a little bit this morning. Now, this division is a problem. All right? But I want you to see something this morning, how the devil works, and I know you're aware of the working of the enemy, but I believe in the time that we're living in now, the devil is working more harder than I've seen him work since I've been saved. The devil is working harder now. I'm seeing the devil, you and I this morning, if we do not put our minds and our hearts together to have to add to the body of Christ and to the love of one another and to link up closer together and to lock our bonds and our chains closer together, if we don't have a mind to do that, we're going to be snapped off. Because the devil, he is doing more now than he ever done to cause problems everywhere you go. Problem is all over the world. Husband and wives. The devil would love to cause you to separate in the home. If he gets you separated in the home, you're going to bring it to the church, to the building, to the congregation. He's faithful, the devil is faithful too, to work in the home to separate husband and wife. Brother and sister. Friends. That's the way he works.
Children and parents.
He's faithful to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though the devil will get into our families and get into our children and get into the congregation, you and I are going to have to hold steady and see the light and work according to the Word of God. No matter how he try to get in and work and to get him out, we need to work harder today to get him out and quit letting him just hang around. We need to work harder. We need to work day and night. We need to fast and pray. And we need to get in. I'm going to tell you something. One thing that they're going to have a room full of folks in hell with bad attitudes. They're going to have a big room of folks with bad attitudes in hell. They're going to have a big room of folks with hurt feelings in hell. Feelings got hurt, and they don't know how to respond and didn't respond to the answer of God, because you hurt me and I don't want anything to do with you. Lord, help you and I. The faithfulness of God goes back to I hurt him and I grieved him. What if he'd have told me, Lewis Kimball, I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't believe nobody in this world could have helped me if God had told me that. If he'd have told me he didn't want anything to do no more with me, you and no one else could have helped me, because God said he didn't want nothing else to do with me. And I believe all of our blessings that you and I get today, whether they come, you think it comes through somebody, it's God at the top of it all that blesses us. And I believe, and this has seemed like the message that God is laying on my heart, they go tell the folks, we need to work harder now. We need to dig down deeper now. And we need to pull closer together now. We need to work hand in hand. You and I need to work right hand in hand with each other. And every one of us need to get right down and work so close to each other and let the power of God deal and work with us. Because if we don't, the devil is going to succeed in getting in and causing. I said this is division, and it's a problem. In school, that's the way they term it, doesn't it? But it also works in the congregation. Division is a problem. But I want to show you something. Between the time that the Lord comes and now, the devil is going to try to get into you and I and going to try to get into the midst of the people of God and try to cause the problem if he can. Well, I can live without you, Brother Ed. You stay down where you are and I'll stay where I am. I can't live without him. I need you there to be in and to help work with us and to train us and to talk to us and to preach to us. I come up today and I was going to talk to Brother Ed about sometime or another. Come down and preach us a message if you don't mind. We'd love to have you down. The same distance it is from New Orleans to here. It's the same from here to there. All of you are welcome to come. You don't have to run. You don't call me and say, can I come down? You don't have to do that. You can come on whenever the Lord bless you to. We're going to need that with each other, folks, that we can rebuke the devil and we can get things going. I'm going to tell you something. One man come out the service one day, and one of the first things he asked me, he said, "Is any white folks go there?" Now, it'd be kind of strange there. He'd feel uncomfortable with just all black people there, wouldn't he? But I'm glad we had some white faces in there. When he come in and he looked around and he saw what was going on, you know what he said? He said, "This is all right. This is all right." And you know what happened? The Lord gave us a message, and he was wanting to come to the altar. But his wife couldn't take it. She got up and ran out the door. And the next day he told me, he said, "I wanted to come to the altar." He said, "What were they doing down there?" I said, "They were talking to the Lord. And they was asking the Lord if they had grieving to forgive them." He said, "Oh, I wanted to come. I wanted to come." And he was my boss. He was my boss. And the super, his boss, and my boss was 30, and his boss was 27. And I got there, and he come in the door one day, and he was just cussing and going on. And I said, "Why do you talk so bad?" I just rebuked him right on the spot. He said, "Who are you?" He looked at my tag on the shirt, K, and said, "Oh, you K." And then the other fellow said, that's Lewis. "Oh, I heard about you," he said. And we began to talk, and he began to confide in me. He began to ask me some things about the religion that he was involved with. Folks, people need help. And you and I need to be in here. If we don't have it to give out, the folks come through your door saying, "I need help," and they go out the same way, we are in trouble. Did you know? Somebody comes through those doors and say they need help, and we cannot help them, we are in trouble. I'm going to say that again. We ought to be able to help any soul that comes through those doors that need God. We need to be able to help them. And we need to be in a place to help them. If we're not in a place to help them, we are in trouble. Lord, help us this morning. I said I left my Bible. But then God is bringing it to my mind. So I'm not depending on the Bible I left. I'm depending on God this morning. Well, may the Lord help us. It's going to take the congregation here, and the congregation in New Orleans, and the congregation in Baton Rouge, and wherever else there's another congregation that believes and lives like this, and believes salvation to the soul, even free from sin, we're going to have to work close together. We're going to have to do it. When it's time for service here, it's been a thing in the past to us, and it still is, and always will be, as long as Lord blesses. When service, a revival meeting is going on here, or camp meeting is going on here, we call our meetings in. Praise God. Why? Because this is the main grounds. Praise God. Let's go support the meeting. Let's go support the services. Lord, help us this morning. Oh, listen. It's going to take us. It's going to take souls in New Orleans to be saved. It's going to need your help. It's going to need your presence. It's going to need your support to be right there in the battle with us from time to time to help souls to be won to God. And I'm going to tell you something. Incorporated, and what I wanted to do is going to take a little bit more of time to take time to do these things. Lord help us. Somebody said, "Well, oh, listen, I believe we strung out, some of us." No doubt. I'm going to tell you something. I look at the ministry. The ministry is so strung out, and more things are coming in to string them out even farther. And it's just coming and going. Coming and going. And then there's a scripture the Lord tells us that we're going to have to take care of our own vineyard. And doing all of that. But you know where you're helped at? You know where the congregations are helped at? When you can get right in there and get spiritual and get the Word of God down in your soul, and you can relieve some of the problems that the ministers are carrying because you are measured up, and this one is coming along, and this one is running. And when the minister is able to go out, there's somebody that can stand right in the shoes and say, "Praise God, this morning we still have service." Amen. Lord, help us. Somebody said, "When the pastor's gone, what are we going to do?" I don't know about you, but it's going to be a minute time the pastor's going to be gone. What are we going to do? Pray. Get a hold of God. Support one another. Get in there with one another and get a hold of the Lord and still be able to take it on. The service. What happened if the minister falls dead? Pastor falls dead. What do we do then? We stop service till we get us another one? No, you can't do it that way. The minute the phone dead, somebody pick him up, go on out and bury him, have a funeral for him, and somebody else come right along and keep moving along. Brother so-and-so is a faithful brother, and we want to be faithful to standing right in the place where he stood to help carry it on. See how it works? They drug James, one of them, through the streets there and cut his head off. You think that stopped the rest of the brethren? Nope, they kept on going. Grabbed a bunch of them over there in one place and beat them real good and told them, said, don't you even mention Jesus' name around here. And they went on rejoicing. I thought about that many times. I see them going down the road, probably said, hey, Paul, John, you got to be pretty good. Let me see how many stripes you got on you. Yeah, you going to quit? No, I'm not quitting. You? No, me either. This thing stirred me up to get closer to God. They beat me good, good. I'm not quitting. What about you, James? You going to quit? You know, they cut the other James' head off you. No, brother, I'm not quitting. This thing is real. I'm moving on. I'm going on for God. I'm not stopping. And you know, sometimes you and I get together and something bad happened and we get to wonder, I wonder where was God at? Where was he at? God was right there looking at everything. He was there before you got there. And you wonder where God's at. Well, I wonder why he didn't do anything. We spend the whole month of Sunday, somebody said, wondering what God and why he's doing what he's doing. Instead of, Lord, help me to be faithful and live for God. Things comes in, folks, and cause you and I to be separated from one another. The devil has been working on that plan for a long time to get people to fall out with one another. You think you might say, all y'all black folks down here, I'm going to let y'all stay together, and all the white folks I'm going to mix up and cause them to fall out with each other? No, he gets right in the midst of everything. All colors and everywhere, and causes disturbances. I don't care what color we are. He gets right in there, and he just causes disturbances. But oh, it's a beautiful picture when you see the brethren can join together. Oh, glory. When you see the brethren can join together hand in hand and they can live for God. What a picture. What a picture.
Thank the Lord.
Exodus. The 12th chapter of Exodus. We're going to work our problem here. Somebody begin reading in verse 31.
Called for Moses and Aaron by night.
Called for Moses and Aaron by night.
Said, rise up and get you forth from among my people.
Rise up and get you forth from among thy people.
Both ye and the children of Israel.
Both ye and the children of Israel.
Go and serve the Lord.
I want you to go and serve the Lord.
As
you have said. You know, didn't you tell the Lord that when he saved you? Lord, I'm going to serve you. You meant it. I meant it. I still mean it. But I want you to know this morning, the devil and all his imps heard you when you said it. And everybody around heard when you said it. You and I are going to have to be faithful in what I said I'm going to do. Whether it's my children, I want my children to be saved. But if my children decide they want to go another route, I'm not going that route they want to go. And as long as they live with me, as long as they abide at my home, they're going to have to abide by the rules that I lay down in the law of God at that house. I may not can make you be saved. I've had people come along and to deal with me about you too hard on your children. And I tell you, I kind of lighten up because I say, well, maybe they're seeing something I don't see. And I'm going to tell you something. During the course of time that I lighten up, and I tell you, I'm having sometimes more problems now than I would have had if I'd have stayed tight. All right, now. Somebody always can come along and tell you what you're doing. Look like you're too hard on them. You don't understand. I was here one time we had an all-day meeting, and they was feeding out under the grounds, and I heard the one sister, she called her little children, two little beautiful boys, and she called the children, and she said, come here. And they looked over, and they didn't come, and she began to count. She said, one. Two, and she got the two, and here they come crying. Folks, I'm still counting. 10, 11, 12. Mine won't come that way. See? I got to reach up and grab my belt and say, "Didn't I call you, son?" "Yes, Daddy, here I come now." You see the difference? Somebody said it's all in the way you train them. Yes, I agree to that. But sometimes it don't work all together. I'm dealing with an unsaved companion. Maybe you're dealing with a saved companion. And you can work a little bit different than I can. I'm working with an unsaved companion, and when I begin to deal with mine, said, "Oh, you don't have to do all of that. They don't have to do that. They don't have to wear long sleeve shirts. They don't have to do this." Can you see the difference? But if they don't want to go God's way, until they make an age where they can go out on their own, they're going to abide by the rules in the home. Now, between here and the time the Lord comes, I've had to deal with those things on my mind when some of the people of God have come along and said, "Well, I think you need to lighten up here and you need to tighten down there." And I'm like this, tighten up, tighten down, lighten up, tighten down. See? And I'm saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me understand this." And you know, children will show right out when the saints come. They'll do pretty good before they get there. But when the brethren come and you think you got them all right, and whoo, you kind of, you know, you get a kind of feeling good, "My children are doing pretty good." And then all of a sudden, they show out. And there you are, all what you'd have built up all week, 2 weeks, a year and a half, they showing out on you in 5 minutes. Embarrass you, what it is. And when you get embarrassed, then you look over there and you're ready now. You know, steam can go to rise, and you begin to say, "Now, ooh, I'm going to take care of you. Just wait till Brother So-and-so leaves. Brother Ed, as soon as he get out of here, I'm going to show you." And if you're not careful, you're hurrying Brother Ed off. "Brother Ed, nice you being here, brother. You want to hurry up and take care of your business," what it is. And he can kind of sense, "Well, my brother sure trying to hurt and get me out of here. Wonder what's the matter." But the children have got my blood boiling. You see what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord, help us is right, brother. Between here and the time that the Lord comes, these are some of the things that are keep us from being faithful. But hold your pulse. Stay right there. If the blood boils, get down to God and get in some coolant and put in there and cool it down. Praise God. Ask the Lord to give me some coolant. "Lord, help me to cool my spirit." In my Bible, it says a cool spirit. Help me to keep a cool spirit. But I still got to deal with the problem. The devil has set out to divide my children and me, my wife and me, the people of God and me, brethren, sisters. The devil has set out to divide us. And we don't want to be naive to think, oh, sometimes we say, "Yeah, it'll work out." It sure will. But it's going to take on our part helping it to work out and keeping a humble spirit. Keeping the spirit of God that I want to dig down in this thing and live for God. I want my spirit not to be just up on a pedestal somewhere, but I want to keep a humble spirit. If I got to come to you, Brother Gerald, and say, "I'm sorry, bless God this morning," I can be able to come right and say it, and I'm not coming and say, "Well, you see, if you hadn't done to me, and I wouldn't." I'm not dealing with that. I'm dealing with what my attitude now, see? I'm going to come to you with my attitude and say, "Brother, please forgive me of that attitude that I manifest. Please forgive me. And I'm sorry." Give you a big hug now. If you want to deal with yours, it's all right. If you don't, I love you anyhow. And I'm going on, see? But here sometime we'll come, "If you hadn't said my eye was black, I wouldn't have told you yours was brown." That's not God, folks. God wants us to deal with our own stuff and get it out the way, and then He can deal and bless and undertake. The devil has been working on the division problem for years. And I'm going to show you what I mean when I say the division problem. Over there, read, brother, and we was reading that there, and about he told Moses to get up and get this stuff together. They're going on a journey. This is the beginning of the journey now. All right, you have it. Read.
"Also take your flocks and your herd."
Take your flocks and your herd.
"That ye have said."
That you have said.
"And be gone."
And be gone.
"And bless me also."
And bless me also. You know, it's cost us something to live for God. God wants to be blessed of us. Brother Ed said one time, "You know, it's a real thing that we can make God happy. We can bless Him and we can make Him happy. Make Him smile. Make Him love us a little more." Hey, I like that part, that I can make God happy. All right, read now. Notice here. The Egyptians was urging upon the people
that they might send them out of the land.
Read.
For they said, we be all dead men.
We be all dead men. Read now.
And the people took their dough before it was leavened.
All right.
The kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders.
Yes.
And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment.
All right. Notice now.
And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians.
Gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptian.
So that they lent unto them such things as they required.
All right. Read.
And they spoiled the Egyptians.
Yeah, all right. Read on now.
And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth.
All right, the beginning of the journey. Now, watch something here.
About 600,000.
All right, hold on a minute. There's the first figure, isn't it? 600,000. Now, this is called a dividend. See? 600,000. This is the number that has to be divided. 600,000. They had more than that, but we're going to use this number. Just a round figure. They had more than that. We're going to read. But the dividend is where we got to divide. The devil sets out to divide this number. When they started out, they had more. But I just want to use this figure. He set out to divide this. Read.
600,000.
That were men.
Beside children.
And now here's one down here now. They had the mixed multitude. You know they still got some of them around, isn't it? The mixed multitude. They got some folks just don't want to go in, just messing around, just there. It causes a lot of problems. Just in the congregation, just problems y'all cause. The mixed multitude. Make up your mind. Which one you want? I'm mixed up. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to live like this or not. I don't know if I want to be saved like this. I can't do what I want to do if I live like this. I want to stay close to the world and live like the world. They are the mixed multitude. They had a big congregation of them following the 600,000. A mixed multitude. They were all mixed up. See? Some of this nation, some of that one, no doubt. They were mixed up. This thing for the Israelites was the people of God. But they had a mixed multitude that went along with them. I'm going to see what y'all are doing. You know you got folks coming out just to see what we're doing. But I want us to look. There's the mix down here now. Well, now I want to ask a question. How long was the journey through the wilderness was supposed to be, Brother Ed? It was 3 days, wasn't it? It was 3 days through the journey. My, that didn't take very long, 3 days. But it ended up to be how many years? It ended up to be 40 years now. You divide 40 years into 600,000, you're going to come up with 15,000 souls per year that the enemy was working on to cause to get out of the order of God, if I use that figure. Now we got a number of over 4 million people in the world today. How much more now if it goes on a year's basis that the devil is trying to get out of the way of God? 40 years it took him to divide the Israelites. At the end of it all, at the very end of the whole course, it was only 2 people of the old stock that was able to make it in. Can you see what I'm talking about? It don't matter to the devil if it takes him 10 years or 15 years to destroy a congregation. He'll do it. He will do it. He's got plenty of time, he figured, and he'll do it. It's going to take you and I to reverse this figure. And you and I can get that many souls saved a year. The next 40 years that we're here, we have souls saved a year. The next 40 years that we're here, we have quite a congregation here, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have room for them, would we? Can you see how the devil works? And sometimes you and I sit right along and just let him go and do his thing. I'm stirred up at you and you stirred up at me. I won't say nothing to you if you don't say nothing to me. Seen husband and wife. When the wife didn't want to be bothered with the husband, she'll cook the food and put it on the table, and he'll need salt in it, and he won't choose. He's too stubborn to ask for somebody to pass him salt. He'll get up and get it himself. She'll put the food on the table, and she won't ask him, is it good? How does it taste? Is everything all right? And she, that's what you got. And the most you can hear at the table when you got that kind of spirit going on is them grunts. That's all you hear. Too stubborn, letting the devil come right in and do his thing and call them to separate right at the table. And all they're doing is grunting. If you lose your soul and go to hell, you're going to do more than grunt. The Bible said there'd be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You'll do more than grunt. Lord, help us this morning. There is a number. It took him, and I thought about this when the Lord began to deal with my heart this morning. And this didn't seem like the beginning of this thought. I'm asking God to help me even more. 40 years, which was a 3-day journey. It took him 40 years to divide. And I know between 40 years, and this is when you started out, this is the beginning of the journey. I knew through that course of time there was more children born into that group of people. But I just used this to help us to see something this morning. It took them 40 years. And in the course of 40 years, what caused them to be overthrown? Murmuring, complaining, not satisfied, discontent, fussy, grouchy. You know, I saw in him and here and years ago when I was a small fella, and I know maybe some of you know it, and some of you probably don't know, they had a sign right out there going out by the Hammond Mall. They had a sign on the right-hand side of the road when you're coming in. It said 10,000 happy people and a few old grouches. That's what that sign said. It stayed there for years. 10,000 happy people and a few old grouches. Well, eventually they took the sign down. I don't know if the grouchiness is gone, but they took the sign down. And if the Lord didn't get the grouchiness out, the grouches are still there. In this course of people, they had somebody who was grouchy. Oh, yes, they did. Grumbling. Just wasn't satisfied with nothing. Had everything that your little heart can desire, and yet still wasn't satisfied. It was a lot of folks among them had some terrible attitudes. And it took the devil. The first thing he did, one of the first things he did, when it should have took him 3 days, he got him to out of the way with the Lord, and the Lord let him took 40 years. Give him some more time to work, didn't he? Do you feel that we can draw closer this morning? Do you feel that we can draw closer to each other and to God this morning? Are we have the mind and the willingness to make the kind of covenants with each other that we'll never let each other down by the grace of God? That we're going to be faithful to each other? That we're going to love each other? That we're going to come and see about each other? Took the devil 40 years. You ever thought maybe sometimes people might be having problems and maybe your prayers, your counsel, your faith could help them? Lord, help us. You know what the Lord dealt with me when I thought about this? When a problem is goes on and what's so beautiful, and I thank the Lord for it. That's when a problem is going on and you can get on the phone and say, we need prayer right now. We need to be in touch with God. And then the next call comes back and says, the Lord is answering prayer. Oh, listen. That means something to me. That means more to me than anything else in the world to know that. You and I as a people, we have a love. He said, by this
shall all men know you are my disciples. Because you have love one for another. Brother Ed, you got love for me. I'm going to have to get it sometime or another if you just come on get it for me. See? But that you have love one to another. Brother Lawrence, bless my soul, one day we was going to Mississippi. And we in the truck going along. And he said, "Oh, I forgot my wallet." And then at the next word he said, "But that's all right. If you got some money, I got some money." Amen. That's all right, isn't it? That blessed me. That helped me. And I thought about that and smiled. Somebody said, "No, I better turn around and go back and get you a wallet, brother." Can you see? But he didn't say that. He said, "If you have some money, I have some money." Praise God, folks. Is that the way we see it? Is everything you get yours by yourself? Shame on you. You think when you get to heaven, if we make it with that kind of attitude, when you get there, you're going to have your little place all by yourself? Oh, no. The master key is going to be able to fit every door. Amen. Lord, help us. See, a lot of folks do that. The devil comes along and gets you so stirred up in your mind that what you accumulate is yours. And it's not yours at all. You know everything you got don't belong to you. It's not yours. You may think it is, "Well, I'm just, you steward over it." It can cause you to lose your soul because you think it's yours. Yeah. I see the big old sign sometimes said, "No trespassing, private property." We ought to put them signs up for the devil. No trespassing, private property. Praise the Lord, help us. Can you see what I'm talking about this morning? We spend unnecessary time on things that don't value nothing at all. I read last week in the thing that Brother Busby wrote, he said if people get their mind off their property, their money, and what belongs to them, and get their mind more on God, he said we'll have a much more spiritual place. And I agree with that 100%. It's a blessing that he said when Jesus died, he didn't have a penny to his name. He didn't have no... His name wasn't on the book somewhere in high prestige. He wasn't just over things other than what God had him over. But just in the world, see? But these things would hinder us. It took the devil 40 years. And however many of that old stock that was left, all but two. The mixed multitude, some of them died too. But don't you know that mixed multitude was still going along just like in the scripture that bears out, he said, and his son followed in his steps. He loved the Lord too. And then you find another one said, and his son did not follow the Lord. And you go on down. Just like you had that, the mixed multitude, they were having children too. And they were mixed up too. And it went on and on and on until it come to you and I today. How long would it take the Lord, take the enemy to finish working on us? How long would it take the Lord to get into our minds and into our hearts how we need to put more emphasis on building together? Lord, help us. I believe we've been slow as a people. We've been slow about taking enough time to work closer together. We've been slow about working closer together than we ought to have been. Lord, help me. When I got up here, I said, "It's been a while." Somebody said, "It sure has." Can you see the respond? See? Lord, help us. Lord, help me. But if we're going to build the kingdom of God in the last few days that we have, we're going to have to pull together. We're going to have to put more emphasis on building together than ever before. Keep in mind, the devil don't matter how long he takes to divide this number. What will be the answer? Here's the answer that it was taking at these figures. It was taking 15,000 souls per year getting out of the order of God at this figure here. Taking 40 years to come up with this. This is how many souls average in a year that was in trouble with God. It's quite a number, isn't it? And when it all finished, when it all boiled down to the very last of it, it was two of the old stock that was faithful. It was two that pressed the battle. And if you follow Caleb and Joshua down, Joshua stayed under the teaching of Moses from a young man on up to he made a good age. There he stayed right there. He had humility. And he was right in the midst of it. And he stayed right there with Moses. And he learned and he worked with him. And he respected him. And the Lord blessed him. And when it's time for Moses to go off the scene, he told Moses, he said, I want you to appoint Joshua. And he's going over. He's going to lead the people. And I want you to go and tell him. Lord, help us. Well, when Caleb got over there, and he was still faithful and being right there with his buddy and his pal, and they had worked close together, and they had linked up together, they had the same kind of faith together, they was strong in the Lord together, when they sent him out to spy the land, they came back and told it like it was, didn't they? Oh, we can take it, we can do it. And the other 10, they said, we're like grasshoppers, we're scared. You know, that's just the way a lot of folks is. Fear got them pinned down, and they can't go anywhere. But I want to tell you this morning, if you're under fear, you're in a terrible place. Fear has torment. But the Lord can deliver us out of that. I'm going to tell you, praise God this morning. And I'm thinking about when him and Joshua got over there, and it's come time to separate the little land there. And he told him, listen. He came back to him. He said, I am strong now as I was 40 years ago. I'm just as strong now. Give me my mountain up there that belonged to me. That belonged to me up there. That belonged to our people. He said, give it to me. Oh, and he went after it. 85. You think at 85 you're about ready to hang up things? Well, I'm retired.
Nope. I am this day 4 score and 5 years old.
4 score and 5 years old.
As yet I am
as strong as the day.
As I was in the day that Moses sent me.
Isn't that a blessing?
As my strength was then,
it is now. Have you lost any ground with the Lord since then, since you first got saved? Are you stronger now? You should be stronger now. If a man lived for God 4 years, 5 years, he's supposed to be stronger than 4 years, or stronger than he was when he first got saved. Because why? He learned a little bit more about God. Oh, listen. Are you stronger now? As Caleb says, we still have that fervency in our soul, in my soul. And Lord, I'm wanting to push this battle on. I'm wanting to fight now, more now than ever. Oh, saints, something for us to think about. Something for us to consider. The devil don't care how long it takes him. But he'll work on you. And he'll work on me. And he'll let things come around and things get in and things happen to cause me to lose out with God. You pray for me. My desire
is to please God. And I come by. We need to support one another better. We need to get right in there. I think it takes about $3, maybe $4 worth of gas to drive down New Orleans. It takes me about $4 to drive up this way. And if you got one of them little small cars, you can do it for about $1.50. That's not expensive at all, is it? I believe we're going to need to work closer together. I believe the people of God, and this is the message seems like the Lord is laying on my heart for this trip that we're going out in. We need, as a people of God, to unite more. We need to check back and look down at things and say, Lord, have we let anything slip through here? Have we let any slack get in the line? Lord, help us to tighten up the links and tighten up the boats. And help us to draw closer to the Lord and to each other. But it's the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, there's another scripture over in Ephesians, something about that every joint supplies. Let me see. Maybe I can find that scripture. Four and 16. All right. Of whom the whole body. All right, read.
Until we all come
into the unity of the faith.
And of the knowledge of the Son
of God.
Unto a perfect man.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
That we henceforth
be no more children.
Tossed to and fro.
And carried about with every wind of doctrine.
By the sleight of men.
Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to
deceive,
but speaking the truth in love,
that may grow up
unto all things,
which is the head,
even Christ.
Now notice the thought,
from whom the whole body
fitly joined together
and come.
I like that part.
Come
packed it.
You know
trials going to push us together.
You know
trouble's going to compact
us together?
That's why
trouble comes.
To keep the
people of God together.
When they was
in Israel,
they was together
because they had
problems.
And the Lord
saw fit to
keep them together.
Read now.
Notice now. I'm going to
let you go in just a minute.
By that,
this is what happens.
By that which
every joint supplieth.
According
to the affection
working. In
the measure of
every part, every
one of us that are
saved this morning
got a part in
this thing. And
you and I,
when you're,
I'm here
and you're there,
and you get up and
testify,
you don't know what you're
doing to
somebody over there in the
corner
that maybe
had a doubt in your mind,
and you got up and
told what God done for you.
Read.
Maketh
increase of the
body
until the edifying
of itself
in love.
You pray for me.